Hey everybody, this is Jet of Sick Drummer Magazine, and today as our guest I have Morten Sorensen of Amaranth. Thank you for being with us today, Morten.
Well, it's an honor to finally talk to you guys. I've been following you, your magazine since, was it since 2006 or something like that? So
awesome.
I've been following what you've been doing ever since, and yeah, it's an honor.
Well, also thank you for your support too. And so you said you're a little busy today. How? What's going on?
We're in Wrocław in Poland right now, shooting a music video for one of our upcoming singles, which is probably to be released later this year around, yeah, who knows, maybe October, November, December, maybe as a Christmas present.
Ah, cool.
So a lot of stuff going on here. Yeah.
So Morten, you know, I was looking through like the list of bands if you played drums with, and it's pretty extensive and very diverse. So how old were you when you first started playing drums?
I guess I was 5 when I started hitting stuff with the chopsticks, and I was 11 when I got my first drum kit after air drumming forever. So yeah, and then I got into more extreme metal when I was around, I would say 13, 14, like mm-hmm. blast beats and all that good stuff.
Was drums your first instrument then?
Yeah, it was. I tried guitar, bass, keyboard, but drums. It was either the drumming or skating back then, and luckily it was drumming.
No, what was your first kit?
My first drum set
mm-hmm.
was called CB Percussion, and I have never ever heard about the company ever since. And I think it was the cymbals were called Headliner or something. Might have been like a very cheap early version of Meinl, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And I had a hi-hat and a ride cymbal for I think around 2 years before I got a crash cymbal, and that was a big day.
So when you first started playing drums, what was some of the music that inspired you to play? I mean, after you were 5, you know, when you start listening to the radio and hearing all these bands and stuff.
Well, as far as I can remember, I was always into rock and metal, mm-hmm. especially Metallica, because I heard so much talk about they have this Danish drummer, and you know, he really made it big in with this band Metallica, and it was all over the news all the time. So already back then I was completely into Metallica and Lars Ulrich, and I had this big poster of his drum kit above my bed. And so while I was listening to Metallica, I pictured his drum kit and how he would play on this, and which toms were, I mean, I could kind of recognize what was going on. In that sense. So actually, the first time I ever tried a drum kit, I could actually play. It was fun because of this. So big thanks to Lars Ulrich.
And you're from Denmark as well, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So people could kind of understand how you relate to that story there.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, I just wanted to mention too that literally looking at these bands, you've like played in like brutal death metal bands of like Disavowed and the Black and Death of Panzerkreis, and now for the past 10 years or so you mostly are active in more of a power metal metalcore type style in your current bands that you're in. So what is it about this type of music that you enjoy playing and have, you know, made a career out of for the past decade?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I was way into like the more technical aspect of music for the longest time, and I guess at some point I got a little bit tired of this whole idea of competing, almost, you know, mm-hmm. like who can play the fastest, and mm-hmm. I kind of burned out a little bit doing this and didn't seem that interesting anymore. And around the same time, I was always into melodic music, and I always liked good songwriting and good songs, and not just the drumming. And so I became really good friends with all of the guitar player and main songwriter of Amaranth in the very, like, around 2007. We were touring together in a band called Night Rage, like Swedish death metal. And it just somehow just happened, like organically, that we just clicked and we wanted to create some music together. And it was around that time, it was pretty technical and demanding at the same time. So I was really into this kind of prog music as well. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a. I mean, I never looked back ever since joining this band, and maybe from the outside it might seem as a weird decision. You know, if you're a capable drummer of playing like blast beats and stuff like that, why wouldn't you always do that? But I honestly find it way more satisfying to play a solid beat and play to a very, very enthusiastic crowd. It's a very different vibe to play live with Amaranth compared to like clubs, you know, club shows with like death metal bands. And it's a really tough life, you know. You're kind of doomed to be touring in a van for the rest of your life. So it's a whole different kind of experience.
Well, you know, you found your niche in this too. You know, you've gone through the other bands, whatever, then you end up in this band, and you love it. You know, and you're a great fit for that band too. You know, and we enjoy, you know, listening to you in that band as well. So you found your niche,
thank you.
Martin.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, I try to add some creativity and. In this music, and kind of add some spice, you know, instead of just playing like this, like programmed drummer, or you know, there is many bands in the same genre, if you could, would say that, like the drumming doesn't really appeal that much to me. So I kind of want to add a different dimension to things here and there, without being in the way of the songs and all the vocals. So yeah.
Right. And it makes it does make it much more interesting. It gives the songs a little bit more depth than, like you said, a straight, you know, beat that gets kind of boring. You make it a little more interesting for the drumming crowd, Martin.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
So what do you do to prepare yourself for a show?
You mean on the actual show day?
On the actual show day, before you go on stage, what do you do to prepare yourself?
Well, I mean, my day would typically look like getting up around noon or something like that, getting the breakfast, coffee, do some kind of training exercise, finding a gym, or just going for a walk and drinking some coffee and socializing with people. And yeah, by the 3 or 4, something like that, is usually sound check, and there's meet and greets, and there's dinner, and then the whole ritual begins. Then it's nap time.
So you don't do any like meditation or stretching or any of that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, it like meditation. It can be going for a walk or something, listening to a podcast, or just winding down a little bit before going up again. So, I like to, you know, by the time it's early evening, you kind of already had a long day, so you need to give your body and your mind a little bit of rest before all hell breaks loose again. So yeah, a little nap, and then the whole it's like a second morning almost when I wake up. You know, I have a maybe a cup of coffee and take my drumsticks and my practice pad and start fooling around a little bit. And usually by that time, the rest of the band had already had their first beer or something like that. So they're in a happy mood and just start goofing around. And yeah, then hitting the stage, usually in a very, very good and light mood, you know, no nervousness or no... not trying to like get all amped up or anything like that. Just I like to go on stage feeling happy and relaxed and not too worked up. So yeah.
Do you remember your first show in front of a big crowd?
Actually, I do. Yeah. I mean, when I think it was back in 2007, where I was I was substituting Dirk Verbeuren, actually, in one of his other bands, Scarv, which was my favorite band for a long, long time. I got to play with two festivals in Europe, Dress Pop and Hellfest, which
wow.
Back then, and I guess they're still one of the biggest metal festivals. So that was my first experience playing the big festival shows and playing this insane music, you know. It was kind of nerve-wracking because we didn't have backing tracks. They were using like some kind of sequencer on the pedal board for the guitar. So you had to be in time when you reach that place in the song where he was would push the pedal, you know. So there was no click track. You just had to count that you were on time by the time you hit that part. I guess it was nerve-wracking. There was like so many drummers in the first row and in front of the fence playing air drums too.
Oh man. So yeah. What's like the worst thing that's ever happened to you while playing during a live show?
Oh, it was the beater coming off the bass drum pedal or something like that, you know. It happened several times. I had to, I'm not going to talk any shit about any brands, but I had some pedals back in the days, and those beaters just kept falling off, and it was usually on the right pedal, of course. So I had to finish off the song playing just the left foot and And of course, there's the occasional losing a drumstick doing a drum solo or something like that.
That's not too, too bad. That's not too bad. I've heard a lot worse, Martin.
I mean, I never had diarrhea and puke or anything like that, if that's what you mean.
That's a good thing.
Not yet.
Oh, knock on wood.
Still time.
Yeah. And now that there like have not been any shows for a while, what is your like personal drum practice like, and what do you do not only to keep up your chops but to also help you with endurance for when you go back to playing these shows and tours?
Well, I always keep my basic shape, you know. I spend a lot of time working out in the gym, and since the band is our job now, and I have almost too much time now, so I go to my drums like usually a couple of hours every day, and either I play along to some music or I work on some weak points, which is always the left foot, of course. Try to keep it up and explore new areas of drumming that I haven't been able to, and touring as much as we have done for the last 10 years and with this schedule is kind of builds up some tension in your body, and the way you start playing is different. I mean, it's way more bigger movements, and so a little bit of this fine motor skills gets lost, I would say. So I'm trying to work this back into my playing to actually have this the same finesse as I used to have.
Now, have you ever had any like drum playing injuries?
Nah, I wouldn't say I've had any injuries. Yeah, one time actually I fell and I hit my left hand, and I had to finish off the tour playing traditional grip because I hit this metal rod with my hand. But I never had any like carpal tunnel syndrome or something like that. Just occasional sore legs from heavy squats or something like this.
So how would you describe your style of playing drums, Morten?
I don't know. I would say it's creative and groovy, I don't know. It's always difficult to observe your own drumming from outside somehow.
So what's your current setup?
Actually, right now in my rehearsal room, I have a 13-inch snare drum just one bass drum. I usually play with two bass drums live. I have 8, 10 toms and a 14, 16. So, like smaller toms and a few cymbals, actually. Like a very different kind of sounding cymbals than that I would use live. More like I have these Siljang, what is it called? Dry. Mm-hmm. Dry. That I totally love them, but they don't really fit with the music. So it's just for my own fun and maybe other projects.
So but, is there any like current gear that you've had your eye on?
Well, last year I decided to buy this Trick double pedal. I play Yamaha and I also play their pedals, but always wanted to try this Trick double pedal, and I used to play Axis many years ago, and I used to be so fucking fast, and the last couple of years I'm just nowhere near as fast anymore. So I was like, ah shit, maybe I should try to get into this again a little bit, and I got these Trick pedals, so I'm kind of exploring these at the moment and having fun with those, with all the different settings, and they're very versatile, I would say, and I really like them.
So you're having a lot of fun with those now?
Yeah, I do. And this Yamaha EAD 10 module, you know, like this practice module where you can you kind of you have like one mic that captures the whole drum kit, and you have one trigger on the bass drum, and the whole drum kit you can like manipulate the sound in so many different ways. It's the best practice tool ever.
Cool.
Super awesome. Yeah.
So now your band Amaranth has a new album coming out in October. So tell us about writing and tracking drums. What's the process like that you went through with this album?
Oh yeah, it's kind of a interesting and very different process than in the old days where you used to record albums in 2 days. So now we pretty much just book the studio time very, very well in advance. You know, I mean, we have to plan the releases and everything has to follow a schedule and so on with touring and so on. So we just book the time and then we just have to write the songs. So it usually goes that I think we had maybe 3 songs that were actually done by the time we entered the studio. So I had the possibility to prepare for 3 songs, and then we just kind of write the rest in the studio. So the drum recording and the songwriting is happening simultaneous. So I would typically track a song. They will finish another song, and I would listen to this song on the way home. I just so happens to live very close to the studio, so I can go home and sleep comfortably in my own bed every day. So I just make some mental notes and practicing the song and different ideas in my head. Go for a walk, and then I usually track it the next day. And
do you have people in the band that are the main songwriters?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's Olof and Elise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what could you tell us about this album then? I mean, I know you're not the lyricist, but I mean, basically, what's this album all about?
Well, I mean, the title kind of says it all. You know, it can be understood in multiple ways as a like this is what we want to manifest, and this is also a manifest, if you could say so. Mm-hmm. I feel like we kind of went through a lot the last couple of years, and with lineup changes and so on, and the previous album was the first album with our new singer Nils. He's not new anymore now, but yeah, you know, it's always how it goes. and we had all these switch of management, and we had there's a lot of like a in many ways a new chapter, and we got a new label. We're a Nuclear Blast now, and so it's kind of like a fresh start. And I guess it kind of affects the music as well, and the whole positivity and into the whole into our life in general, like our whole career so far. And we just came off the road from this amazing tour with Sabaton. That we played arenas every day in 1 month, you know, like more or less sold out shows every day. So we had this whole different experience under our belt of playing to an arena crowd every day and getting to learn how to do that. I mean, it's not just something you do. You have to practice this actually, and you kind of find out what works in your music. You know, if you have all this intricate stuff that's super cool and super awesome to write and to play, and all this it's not triplets, but every, you know, that stuff, right? You know, which is, some people think it's triplets. It's not triplets.
You should have just let them think it.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it really doesn't come across that well in front of 10 to 15,000 people. So I think in some ways we kind of created some more space in our songs, and at the same time we went in a different direction, like with the creativity. We were completely free to do whatever we want, and we don't feel like we have any, no one is holding us back anymore, and kind of just go with our gut instinct. So we created some, maybe for some people, some pretty outrageous songs, you know. I mean, some people like to label us as, I don't know, like power metal or symphonic even, which I never really understood. But I mean, there's a kind of, like, if you listen to a song, we have a ballad called Crystalline, and we have a song called Boom as well, which is like, you would almost not think it was the same band, you know. So we kind of really utilize the different possibilities and personalities in the band, since we have the most amazing screamer growler as well. So kind of went a little bit more brutal this time as well as Poppy. And yeah,
so what were you guys doing? I mean, what tour were you, like, touring when the pandemic hit? I mean, what was going on with the band when all that happened, when everybody just had to stop all of a sudden?
We just finished a tour with Sabaton. I think it was like in the late February, so very lucky to at least
get
to do that. Yeah. And and then we started we had the recording scheduled for like mid March, I guess, and then the whole pandemic and lockdown came, and I think Olaf and Elise, they just crossed the Danish border 2 hours before it was closed. So everything was just up in the air all the time, and our bass player couldn't even come here to record his part in Finland, and we didn't know if the other Swedish guys would be able to show up in the studio either. So we just accepted the situation and made the best out of it, and yeah, kind of went into this mode of just doing what we do the best and focusing on something instead of trying to be scared of the whole way the media, you know, they like to scare us and all that stuff, you know, so stay home and don't breathe and don't talk to anyone.
So hey, at least 2020 is finally nearing an end. I mean, you know, like you said, you guys are like shooting videos today, but I mean, do you have anything going on, any other plans for the rest of the year leading into next year?
I mean, we have we have the whole album campaign, and mm-hmm. we're talking about maybe, I mean, Sweden is kind of opening up a little bit now with mm-hmm. The possibilities of maybe even doing some shows for a limited amount of people, but we'll see. We'll mm-hmm. see. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a band that's not a rehearsal room band, so we're not even used to playing together without having an audience. So I think what we do best is to kind of have this, you know, feed off the audience and the other way around. So we were a little bit hesitant about this whole thing, you know, mm-hmm. because this is, because of the music. It's not just the, I mean, I've seen a couple of live streams from other bands, and there's some good ones, and then there is some, I mean, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be on that stage looking at an empty hall and
right.
and so on. I mean, it's you can earn some money by doing this, but I don't know if it's the right thing to do. We'll have to consider this.
Right. Well, maybe so, not.
But yeah. Mm. Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna say, maybe not so much for you. It's like you said, you don't get that same energy that you know, a lot of the bands, or all bands really, when you're up on stage, you get that energy from, you know, the audience, and it's a whole different ball game. And then when that energy is gone and you're just up there, it's like a big rehearsal or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that, right? I mean, it kind of feels like you're faking it somehow. Yeah. Like You wouldn't do all these poses and stuff like that in a rehearsal room. Or maybe you would. I mean.
So Morten, in closing, tell us, what is your favorite part about playing drums and being a drummer?
I think my favorite part is creating new music. Mm-hmm. It's putting your energy into something and getting it. Okay, it's not a physical product anymore, but still it's something that's kind of shared with the whole world, and it's out there somehow for eternity, or at least until the, I don't know, the meteors hits the earth, or I don't know what's gonna happen, who knows. I like that thinking, like that it actually makes some kind of difference to people out there. And also just the feeling of playing drums, you know, the time disappears and you're one with your instrument and all that. Yeah, there is no distractions. There is no, yeah, it's just you and music, even if it sounds a little bit cheesy.
No, not at all. And Morten, I just want to thank you for talking with me today, and I wish you all the best in your career and on the new album, and hope your video shoot goes well today. And then, of course, the name of the new album is called Manifest. It's coming out in October off of Nuclear Blast Records. So, Morten, all the best to you.
Oh, thank you so much.